And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 118. We finished Pockets of ADP. We've done a live draft. So now you got two big episodes before the big draft weekend up ahead. So we're going to recap the Pockets of ADP, starting with hitters tonight, kind of get you ready. Like, we're calling it a hitting roadmap to get you through the draft on what you need to focus on. And we'll kind of probably talk about other things because that's what we do. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We should have been marketing majors in college. You know, the hitting roadmap, that just sounds...
Sounds good.
Sounds good. No, this will be a cool... Well, who knows? Maybe we'll see how it goes, but kind of just be a recap of what we've been talking about the last few weeks in draft season and kind of like a sum it all up in one episode is kind of the point on how we would ideally want to draft the team from the hitting side tonight and then the pitching side on Thursday. Tonight's Tuesday, so yeah, we'll see how it goes. We've got a few hours until the start of the MLB season, which is kind of cool. I agree with your tweet earlier. We love living on the West Coast, especially with like sports start times. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievably great. Except for this one, the 3 a.m. start, man, it's probably not. I shouldn't say it. With my four-year-old lately, it's a 50-50 shot. I'll actually be awake, but not against, not on my own volition, I should say. I will be sleeping, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll probably be up between 5 and 6 like usual, so maybe I'll catch the end of the game. You know, if God willing, I'll sleep through the whole thing. But that's not my daughter waking me up. That's just me in my early life.
6 a.m. would be ideal.
Yeah. Get the end of the game. I mean, we're very end.
But no, like if it started at 6.
Oh, yeah, like the East Coast people.
We're both up early and like, yep. I mean, I remember when we watched the British Open, it's on at like 5, 6 in the morning.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's great.
It's the best time of the year for that one. That's why my favorite major. But you guys are here for baseball, unfortunately. No, I was kidding. But yeah, we got Soul Series. We'll recap on Thursday for you. Talk hitting tonight. There's been a ton of injuries. We're not gonna talk about these tonight. Maybe we'll do more injury stuff on Thursday with the pitching stuff. But closers are a mess. That'll factor into our discussion on Thursday. Luis Rengifo left Tuesday night's game. Just had to throw that out there because it's mascot of the show. Needed to mention that one. E-Rod. Left with a lat strain, so we'll wait for some more info on that, but it ain't good. It ain't good at all.
Man, we went 2 minutes before our first mascot, Rengifo, mentioned, which I actually got a, you don't even know this, Bubba, I got a picture from one of our loyal listeners, Scott, who actually redid our podcast logo.
Oh my goodness.
With Bubba Rengifo in the bloom.
That is amazing.
That Birch? I thought it was hilarious. That? Yes,
that is amazing.
I think his wife did it, but yes, it came from the Burks household, and so it is a damn shame Rengifo got hurt today. Hopefully, it's not bad hamstring.
Well, he's gonna have more time to sit down on the pod, maybe. So it's okay.
Exactly. If he's on the IL, maybe Rengifo can join us.
It's about a 3-hour drive to my place. Come on, buddy, let's go.
Yeah. So I had to share with anyone on YouTube and live streaming. I thought that was pretty funny.
That is amazing. That's like the cover of a late 80s, early 90s hip hop album right there. That was pretty good stuff. But all right, like we said, we're going to do a Pockets of ADP recapping quickly to just talk hitters here. But we're going to do it backwards because I'll let Ryan have the floor. But we've always talked about, building your team from the back forward. That's how you kind of make things work. We talk about middle rounds, all that kind of stuff, because the early rounds, we kind of have an idea already. But by knowing back to front, you're going to have a good idea of what you really need in those early rounds compared to what you think you need in those early rounds. So I'll let Ryan elaborate on that some more because I know it's a thing you focused on quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm a firm proponent of building your draft plan from the middle rounds forward. I've kind of been saying this throughout, but like your early rounds, everyone, you can maybe pick nits and some of the players going in the first three rounds or whatever, but like everyone's good. It's more trying to build a balanced team, build a team that, depending on strengths in the middle rounds, you can account for in the early rounds. So that's kind of why we are going to start at the end and work our way forward. I do have on the screen, what we're going to do is break these down into by 50 pick segments, similar to our last few episodes. We'll start at 250 to 300. And there is Mr. Rengifo staring us in the face at 252. But I just want to kind of go through and just from a position standpoint, from a category standpoint, with you just kind of talk through like what we like, what we don't like in each pocket. And maybe if we're thinking 12-team leagues with 50-pick pockets, we're probably taking – it's four picks. You're probably taking 2 to 3 hitters in each 50-pick segment. So maybe we'll wrap up each kind of 50-pick segment with like what we would want to pick based on strengths and weaknesses and then go from there.
Yep, that makes a ton of sense to me. So like Ryan said, we'll go back to front. I'm going to try to stop saying that out loud because it makes me want to laugh. But yeah, let's kick it off here. 300 to 250. And I'll ask you this first and foremost. Is each pocket color-coded for each pocket or is it through the whole player pool before I start?
Yeah, you ask me every time and I think my answer changes every time. It's within each picture that we're seeing.
Perfect.
So the 200 to 300 is all relative.
Okay, so it's all the same, not just 250 to 300. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Just to confuse your ass even more.
Hey, I can see now, so I have more questions.
We're talking in 50-pick pockets. However, it's color-coded by 100.
Talk about making an old man get goofy here. This is great. I might have to take out the trash pretty soon and do some laundry. You're going to exhaust me just staring at this thing. Bloomfield, it's ridiculous. But all right, let's talk 250 to 300. What are some of the early takeaways you see here? Because if you just look positional alone without even looking at players' names, it's an outfield heavy section.
That's what I saw. And like at 200 to or 250 to 300 is like in a 12-teamer year rounds, 20 to 25. So this isn't like totally the end game, but it's pretty close. However, you are going to need some of these guys on your squad. I noticed this is where I want to get like my fourth or fifth outfielder, depending on if you're in like a 12 team or 15 teamer. I like the outfield options. There's Max Kepler, assuming Rengifo is okay and doesn't join the podcast. He certainly shines. I know you've been a big Sedan Rafaela guy who is going in this range somewhere, 271.
Yep.
You've got the Cincinnati combo of Jake Fraley and Will Benson, depending how that situation shakes out. I know like Matt McClain had an injury today. So, you know, there's some playing time questions there, but the skills are there. I think this is a nice spot to get that last outfielder. And I think it's someone, even Brent Rooker.
Yep.
You know, 22 home run projection. It's not going to kill you for your last outfielder. So I think, you know, we've talked a lot about kind of waiting on outfield and having some, and we'll talk about a little bit more with the next pocket, but I think there are some decent outfield options to round out your five there.
Yeah. Just like from doing drafts lately as ADP has changed. I remember early in draft season, I was like, man, outfield's shallow. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's not as shallow as you think. It might be shallow with five category guys or whatever, but compared to other positions, like this is an example, there's plenty of outfielders here. There's still a chunk in the final five rounds. If you just happen to have screwed up and need an extra one, they're there even in 15s. Like I'm in round 26 of my main event queue, and there's like Brandon Marsh who's back and plays every day in center field. There's a handful of other ones that are sitting there just in case if you do need one. They're there. So it's not dire straits where if you're looking at other positions, you might be in a little more of a dire straits situation. We've talked about second base in the past. And yes, you know, Brandon Lau's here, but I've preached many times on my thoughts on Brandon Lau. I just don't trust the injury history. It's probably not bad if you want to take a risk here. But like, how often is India going to play? Who knows? Edmonds hurt. Rengifo's hurt. Second base gone. Like there's no second base. Middle infield's pretty much gone.
I was gonna say add shortstop to that list. I mean, we've got Jackson Merrill who is
he's gonna gain outfield too.
Eligible,
but so you get that we'll on top gain of
outfield.
It.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, there's like no second baseman. Jonathan India, I don't trust at all. So I think from a middle infield aspect, if you're building a checklist of things that you need, I think you need your second short and middle done and dusted before 250.
Throw third base on the list there. Chapman's here. Some might say first base just because there's only two here, but we know there's even more farther down. That's one position I think we can admit that, you know, we're not talking about those ADPs, but there are more. Rizzo's down there. Abreu's down there. France is down there. There's a handful more that go on later at this position. So first base is still fine, but third base, middle infield, it's bleak. it's getting very bleak in the streets.
Catcher
in the
too. Department. I mean, me to bring up the catchers.
You Ryan did it, Jeffers not me. Is, everybody, take note.
I will. Ryan. I did the last episode too. I waited till the end, but you do have like Ryan Jeffers is going at 280, who I know you kind of like as a last total fallback effort. Option. Yep. But then there's like Shea Langeliers and Elias Diaz. You're not counting on any of those guys, I think.
I will say, I poo-pooed Langeliers all year because I listened to Coach speak, and they said Tyler Soderstrom was supposed to be the platoon one, like 50-50 guy with Langeliers. Well, I wrote about it on my Substack on Monday. Soderstrom got sent to AAA, so now it's Langeliers' job again. So now the average sucked last year for Langeliers, but if he could rebound at all, even hit 230, there's tons of power in that bat. Yes, so he's having a big spring too.
More at bats for that 210 average.
Yeah. I have zero shares. I'm not planning on getting any shares. I'm just saying the things I've said all off season. Let me clarify a few things for you because things have changed in that scenario.
One last thing that I wanted to cover with this 250 to 300 tier, and you know, your catcher. I see your catchers. I raise you my batting average. Because that's just been my like constant thing I'm troping. And this is kind of why, like, there is not much batting average upside ceiling here at this point. There are a lot of guys projected for 220, 230. The guys who are projected for decent batting averages, I don't really even like. Like, Chris Bryant is the top guy in batting average, 271 at a 251 ADP. You've got Tommy Edmund, who's hurt to start the season. He's one of the top batting average guys. Outside of that, it's like Andrew Vaughn or Ryan Mountcastle at first base. Everyone else is projected below 260. And again, probably more than half of these guys are projected for less than 230. So it's just another kind of thing where, like, if you fall behind early in batting average, you're it's very tough to make it up in the middle and the end game.
On the flip side, I'll tell you that we kind of joke, I know this region we're going to talk about next, that power is kind of, you know, is what it is, but it's almost the same on this one. So what I'm going to try to say is it's not a bunch of like 30 home run guys, but there are a handful of projected 20 home run guys in this range, most of them in the outfield, of course, but it's another spot. You're going to take the dip in batting average as expected, but you can still find a little bit of pop back here if you want, and an occasional steal as well. You're also seeing a bunch of guys drop in this range. It's one of the things, like Kelenic's down here now. You have some guys that are like Mountcastle was injured for a while. You got Giancarlo down here. It's kind of one of those situations also. It is interesting to see Fraley about 17 picks after Will Benson right now. 16 picks.
Yeah, that is. Yep. That is, I know a lot of smart people are high on both of these guys, actually. Yep. So, and I believe both same side.
Yes, both lefties.
Right? They're both That's lefties. The thing.
So. In the past, last year, Fraley got the run over Benson, and then Benson would get his turn, of course, and Benson crushed. I feel like it's Fraley's as well because Fraley's more the center fielder to take Friedel's spot. Could be mistaken here. Benson's more the corner outfielder in that scenario. So I'm leaning Fraley over Benson, but I think Benson's got a better skill set personally. Just what the Reds have done in the past, it's been a Fraley world. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. Obviously, yep. Things can change.
Same. Agreed. If you're taking, so if you're taking kind of one last thing I'll throw out, another one of my, I guess, mantras this draft season is this is also where I, at a point in the draft in these early 20th rounds or whatever, this is where I am overdrafting starting pitching. So like, I'm probably just taking one or two hitters in this group, maybe two. It's just that combination of this is where I like to start overdrafting and getting those even reserve pitchers. Because I want to stream pitching from my bench, but B, because there's just not, I don't think, a ton of great options here besides outfield.
Yeah, and I just know from the podcast that it was Spore earlier today and what we'll talk about on Thursday, this 200 to 300 range, that was the focus of the show.
Yep.
So many pitchers that I know both of us like, a ton of pitchers, and they're all going around the same ADPs. Like, there's just a glutton of them in this range. So there's a good reason, I think, when we look at these players, we don't have a lot of shares, like you said, so it makes a ton of sense as well, which helps when we get to some of these earlier pockets, you start pounding the hitting like we talk about, and that's the whole point of these shows, everybody. Kind of figure out where you want to take stuff and when and why.
Yep.
All right, let's jump 200 to 250 now, the left side of your screen if you're watching at home. We got starting at Eloy all the way down to Jung Hu Lee. So what are you seeing that stands out to you in this range?
This, to me, you kind of touched on first base a little bit earlier. This is where I'm typically filling out either a starting first baseman if I've waited, but definitely a corner spot. This is where you've got Brandon Drury, you've got Jamer Candelario, you've got Anthony Rizzo, you've got Justin Turner all going in this range. And there's just, you know, we've both been kind of banging that drum that first base is deep and you can kind of wait either again on the position itself or at corner. And this is why I think that the combination of those four guys being available outside the top 200, Candelario, Rizzo, Turner, Drury, I think just kind of reinforces that point
for me. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And to the extent that I was looking at my player shares earlier today, and my most rostered player this year is Anthony Rizzo in 13 of my leagues, which is 54% of my leagues is Anthony Rizzo. So
wait, you have Rizzo in 13 leagues or you've played 13 leagues?
I've played way more than 13. You know the answer to that. I have Rizzo in 13, 54%. So that means I probably have 25 leagues right now. And I got Rizzo in 13 of them.
Damn.
So wow. He's most rostered. Second is Alex Cobb in 11 leagues.
I just looked. I don't have anyone rostered in more than four.
Okay.
I'm a well-rounded individual.
You said it, not me. So first base, this is your target zone. And it makes sense because I did mention there's guys later, but it's like they're more corner infield. You don't want to rely on them for first base, hopefully. But if you have to, it's okay. You can make it work. But you do have some other, you know, it's a lot of multi-position, like McMahon second and third, Candelario first and third, Drury first and second. Don't see a ton of that coming up. So with Rengifo hurt, Edmund hurt in the next pocket. So that's kind of your last window there.
And we do have, just real quick, we have Alex in the chat. Speaking of that dual eligibility, Justin Turner, I believe, will get or maybe has second base eligibility in some formats. Because Alex asked, what do y'all think about Justin Turner in an OBP league who also has second base eligibility? Does that change anything for me? Yeah. Anytime you can get first and second and thus middle corner like a Brandon Drury, I think that's huge in season when injuries start piling up.
And Turner is a pretty solid OBP guy. So that's a big one as well. So I could see that playing out for you. I'll hit the catcher wall here for you because Alejandro Kirk's down here at 235. That should keep climbing with Danny Jansen's injury. So enjoy that while you can. But if things were all equal, Campy Sano was kind of the end of my line, and he's at the beginning of this area. So pretty much I'd prefer to have my catchers before pick 200 is what this comes down to.
Both catchers.
Yes. Yep,
both catchers. And yeah, Camposano's ADP is 204. So if you're building that kind of pre-draft objective checklist or whatever, I think that needs to be one of your objectives. I have not achieved that objective in all my drafts. I've been diving in the Connor Wong, Rene Pinto scrapyard, and it's rough. It's rough out there. So I full agree, like Camposano. And I would agree with Kirk now with the Danny Jansen injury. Yep. I think Alejandro Kirk, granted the 235 ADP. Actually, I didn't mention this. This is all sorry about that. I should have mentioned this at the top. This is all 12-team online championship ADP from Monday and Tuesday or Sunday and Monday, whatever. The last like two full days. So this is pretty fresh stuff. But I think even still Alejandro Kirk probably goes up to like 200-ish, and I think we add him to that group of catchers that I'm okay with before the cliff.
Yeah, guys, I've told people, for me, if I knew Kirk was the primary catcher and would play pretty much every day, I'd have him around Kiber Ruiz. That'd be kind of where I'd have him in my world of catchers, because both can hit for average. Kirk should have power somewhere. Ruiz showed it last year, similar players, so just keep that in mind if you're going that direction. What's your thoughts on the outfield here, though? I got Captain Jack, Taylor Ward sitting here. Like, this is a spot I love to feast. I even have some Tyler O'Neill in spots. There's a lot of fun outfields right here.
Yes. And to risk sound like a broken record, like, I might want two outfielders here. I've taken two or three outfielders in this group in my drafts. And so I think from a general, like, 200 to 300 ADP, I think you're fine. If you've only got two outfielders in the first 200 picks, I think you're fine finding three guys here who can round out that outfield. So it's, for me, it's Starling Marte and Lourdes Gurriel. who are huge targets of mine. You like Jack Sawinski more than I do. I'm not totally sold on the guy, but you can go that route. You can go Dalton Varsho at outfield. You can go Stephen Kwan if you need bet. Like, and there's different. The nice thing about the outfield is there's different types of players that you can get. You can get kind of I didn't mention Taylor Ward. There's like five or six different outfielders here that, depending on what you need, if you're good in batting average, you need counting stats, you can go Sawinski or Varsho. If you need batting average and steals, you can go with Stephen Kwan. If you want something more well-rounded, you can go with Taylor Ward, Lourdes Gurriel. So I know it's kind of easy to say, oh, get all these guys in the first 10 rounds. It's kind of impossible to do. Something has to give in 12 and 15 team leagues. I think outfield can give. Again, I think you can fill your last three outfield spots post 200 ADP and still do just fine.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It makes me think every time during my live OC stream when you guys kept saying, you need more outfielders, you need more outfielders. Next thing you know, I had all my outfielders filled up. So that was fun when I didn't really need to do that. So, yeah. But one thing I will mention, similar to the right side of the screen, now we're talking left side, 200 to 250, there's one shortstop. We talked about how it was pretty bleak on the right side. You have Jeremy Peña, who projections actually at that point in the draft, 264, 14, and 17. I don't hate that, honestly, at that point in the draft. Last year, he was going much higher after his rookie campaign kind of fell back a bit last year. If you were to get, 260 and, let's say, 15 and 20, you'd be okay with it, I think, all things considered. But it just goes to show you that a position that goes so early in drafts with some stud players – it dries up extremely fast. So keep that in mind when you're drafting shortstop. That's one reason I have a lot of Thyro Estrada, who we'll talk about pretty soon, that second base shortstop. He's one of the last shortstops I kind of trust, per se. And this is an example of why. Like at pick 200 on, it's Jeremy Peña is the only shortstop that's healthy right now, outside, I guess, Jackson Merrill.
We've got Correa at 230.
Like I said, okay, healthy right now. You're right. Right now, that's fair. But
no, your point stands. Yeah. Your point absolutely stands. just want to for the record correct, but it's a really good 300, point,
isn't he? Correa?
What's that? Correa?
He's after 300, isn't he?
No, dude, he's right there. 234.
Oh, right ahead of him. My bad. I just have a blackout spot for Correa, apparently.
Time to go back to that.
New glasses, optometrist. Yeah,
no, it's and I know you've been pounding this with the Estrada point on shortstop. I don't know if this narrative kind of still sticks around, but there's the perception that shortstop is deep. I think you also need a shortstop in your first 200 because I don't like Carlos Correa. I'm not buying the Jeremy Peña projection. And then Rengifo and Edmund are hurt. And then there's Jackson Merrill. That's it after 200. Like that is crazy how quickly shortstop dries up. So that's something worth noting, and this is like a perfect example of when we say draft your early rounds based on the later rounds. If you're in a first round or second round debating between a shortstop and outfielder, and they're both great picks, and you don't really care, I think I'm taking the shortstop for this reason.
Just another reason why I have Bobby Witt over Julio, like that's just little things like that. Yeah. But I will mention just off the top of my head, post 300. Don't rely on it because you're playing massive chicken and you could be burned tremendously. But Zach Neto's back there. In 15s, Orlando Arcia's back there. And only in 15s, I would not wish that upon a 12. Gialdi mentioned Ezekiel Duran could be sneaky. I prefer that more in a 15 probably. But there's a couple late, again, that you're playing chicken at that point because people might need middle infield. People also might be doing the same thing you're doing depending on the depth of the league. I just would rather not have to worry about that type thing. Let's put it that way.
So that was a good call, actually. If the Rengifo injury he could lead off, which would be awesome.
Changes his whole viewpoint on life. And he might, if we were to do the show next week, he might be in the 250 to 300 range when we're talking about this.
Yeah.
So very possible situation. So just a quick recap of 200 to 300. Let's just say it. I'm going to say, in my mind, heavy outfield. Yep. Better have your middle infield positions taken care of before here.
Yep.
And your catcher. The first base outfield. I'd probably get your third base too. This is more of a first base outfield and get your bench guys scenario in my mind. What else are you seeing there?
No, I think so. You've got eight picks here in a 12 teamer in these 100 picks. I'm taking three outfielders, one corner and then maybe one third baseman or Rengifo if he's healthy. So that's 4 to 5 hitters out of 8 picks, which again, for me at least, reinforces the part that I want to go pitcher heavy in this part of the draft and build my pitcher reserve on my squad as opposed to streaming from the wire. So,
and I guess statistically, we already know players this far down, it's going to be a lot worse. That's why they're down here.
I mean, yeah.
But you have a couple 20 plus home run guys if you need them. Steals, I really don't trust a lot of them. Like you got Varsho, who should run a bit, Kwan. But you need
there's O'Neill not, and Marte. That's a note I made with steals. There's not, like, especially the 200 to 250 range. You do have Varsho and Kwan. I believe that. I believe Marte. If 30 healthy, steals, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he still had like 23 or something last year in such limited action. Like when he's out there, he's going to run. Just how much is he out there?
Yeah. I think I take the under on O'Neill at 14 and Pena on 17. Both in Pena's case, it's skills. In O'Neill's case, it's injury. He's already hurt. So,
like Rafaela and Fraley, maybe I could trust. Depends on the rest of the playing time for others. So it's a lot of what ifs at this point, which makes sense. Yeah. That's why they're drafted back here. Yep. But you can fill in some average and get a little bit of pop. Steals, I've tried to have a little more of a stranglehold on before you get back here as well, if we're talking specific statistics.
I like it.
All righty, let's move on to the next section here. We'll see how quickly Ryan can move through the whole deal. We'll have two sheets up again. It'll be 100 to 150, 150 to 200. On the right side of your screen will be 150 to 200. So, Ryan, as we talk about this, what initial takeaways do you see from 150 to 200?
This one's a little tougher to see, and I'll get to that point in just a sec. And I will post these three pictures on my Twitter, either my Twitter or the podcast account tomorrow morning once this – on Wednesday morning when this comes out. This list is a little harder to read, meaning there are more hitters going in this range than the previous pocket. I'm talking just generally 100 to 200 versus 200 to 300, a lot more hitters, and really a lot more hitters in 100 to 150. There's a ton of bats going in that 100 to 150 range, which, again, we will talk about. I got to lead with the catchers, man, and pay homage
to you. A lot of that.
Look at all those catchers in this range from 150 to 160. You've got, you know, Logan O. Bubba at 159. You've got Gabriel Moreno, 163. Jonah Heim, 170. Garver, Kybert Ruiz, Bo Naylor, all going right around 170. And so there are six catchers going in this range. You have made the point of double tapping some of these catchers, and you're probably fine with either waiting on catcher and getting two of these guys. I think in your draft plan, you probably have to grab one of these guys.
100%. You need at least one of them. As you can tell, these six guys are going 12 picks apart. That's one round. So if you want them both, you have to reach on one of them. So let me put that into perspective for you, which might take you into the 1 to 150, which we'll talk about, which has another group of good catchers that we like. But this 150 to 200, I like majority of these guys pretty much. Like, I'm not going to – Gabriel Moreno, I'm probably not in on, but the other five, we're all I can live with. And if you want to double tap, you got to be aggressive on them. And you're going to see that. We even saw it in my live OC. Catchers kind of moved around in that one. That was interesting to watch. So just be prepared. Like that's one of the – obviously, you get your guy season anyways. That's where we're at. But when it comes to catchers, and this isn't just me being, you know, facetious because I like catchers and all, but if you like certain catchers, you need to go get them. That's just the way it works right now because the runs happen. That's why they're going together. The catcher runs a real thing. That's going, like, the first one goes off the board, they all start going, because I think everyone's at least has the same mindset. You need to have at least your first out of this group, if not your second. So they're all taking them. So I 100% agree with you on that one. What else you seeing?
So we talked about the lack of shortstop and from the 200 to 300 part, there are a few shortstops that I like here. And I think you consider this your, if you're kind of, again, doing another objective of your draft, this is your last chance to get a decent shortstop. So you've got Trevor Story going at 169 ADP. You have Willy Adames, Big Willy style, at 186. And then you have Ezekiel Tovar, who I really, really like as just a upside play. I mean, the and with a decent floor. The Ezekiel Tovar projection. God, I should have said this at the front. These are Bad X projections. We switched over from ATC. I've been changing all kinds of stuff up and not telling anyone. The Bat X projects Ezekiel Tovar. The Bat X is available on Fangraphs, and that's Derek Cardi's projection system that uses StatCast. If you're not aware or have heard of the Bat X, that's where you can find it. Ezekiel Tovar is projected 273, 17 homers, 15 steals. Like that'll play. Mm-hmm. That'll play. And so I think if you don't have a shortstop or even middle at this point, this is where I haven't scanned the second base pool. Doesn't look that great looking at it right now, but I think at the very least you need to have your shortstop and maybe your middle locked up with one of those last four guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah, second base is not great. Gorman or Arraez. So I can live with Gorman if you want to play on the ceiling thing, but Gialdi has a question here. Tovar or Holiday? I'm taking Tovar because I know he has a job, but I know people can fight back on that.
That's our MO. I mean, same, but I certainly get at a what's Holiday's current ADP 173. Yeah. God, I didn't even list Jackson Holiday as a potential shortstop. So it's a part of the draft where you can start taking some shots. So I can see it, but I'd go Tovar.
Yeah, I was already thinking Tovar 2020 dude earlier in draft season, and his ADP has been climbing, which sucks, but he can also give you average, which is great, playing in that ballpark. Like, this is one of the last average guys as well. It's like Ryan mentioned, get your last shortstop and or middle infield in this range. First base, you don't have to really worry about it. It's Hoskins and Vinny P, like both good guys, earmuffs, Gialdi. But you really don't need to get either one of them with the guys later, or you already have a first baseman is the way I look at it, because you need to focus on catchers and probably middle infield in this range over first base. That's just the way. Maybe that's why first base goes later too. Could be a whole narrative street behind that.
Yeah, I think if you're taking two hitters in this pocket, I think I'm going catcher. I'm going my second catcher, and I'm going my middle with either Adames, Tovar, or Story. There's a couple of guys like at random spots. Like, you're a big Chaz McCormick guy. He's going at 152. Yep. I know you like that. I like Cabrian Hayes. Yep. But there's not. Yes, you need to have, and we'll revisit this as we continue to move forward in the draft here on our little roadmap. But you need to have second base locked up before this. Because, yeah, like you said, with Gorman and Arraez, there's just not much there. So I think it's second catcher and shortstop. Or, got to bring this guy up, Mikel Garcia, who is like our favorite late pickup. Third base eligible only, but I think he's a fine option going at pick 198.
And I'm not sure. Has anybody noticed he's let off pretty much every game this spring? Just going to throw that out there. He's let off like every game. Hat tip to you, Kevin Hastings. You got me on that one real early, and that's helped out tremendously. So it's fun. Fun stuff there. What I would say, this is more of a personal thing, but it kind of can go to anybody if you like certain players in this range, because we already mentioned in the 200 to 300, there's a lot of pitchers we like. There's outfielders, so on and so forth. But like, I like McCormick, Hayes, and Ohapi a lot. They're going right next to each other. There's no way I can get them if I just wait on their ADP. So you have to start planning out where you want to reach potentially. Just going to throw it out there. That's why the term get your guys. Well, this is where it's at. Like, in a perfect world, I'd love all three on my team. And in some worlds, I have them if I drafted early enough. That's just how it worked. But now they're all drafted by each other. If I still want to try to make that happen, you have to be prepared when we talk about this next pocket ahead of them. Do we skip over these guys with a Hayes, a McCormick, a Logan Ohapi? Just an example. But as you're going through your drafts, when we're looking at these names and we're talking pockets, just realize as ADP keeps getting tighter, because like even farther down, well, there's Bo Naylor, there's Christopher Morel, there's James Outman, Ian Happ. Those are guys we kind of all at least talked about. You can't get them all. So if you want two of them, where are you jumping? That's kind of where you need to sit. Because just because there's a bunch of people in this range we like, to me, a lot of the guys I like are like in the top half of this range. So I'm either taking hitters early and pitchers in this range, or I'm jumping some of these guys in the next pocket is what I'm trying to say. So keep an eye on that when you're looking at things.
Yep, that makes total sense. You can't grab the 170 and 172 and 173 AP guys. It's not mathematically possible in a straight draft.
Yes. Anything statistically you're looking at here? Because there's a whole lot of red in two of the three columns.
Yeah, and I think I messed up my red, like, for batting average. Like, Luis Arraez, his .311 batting average is white. That
should be very green, yes.
That should probably be green. But for me, so there are a lot of, like, and I'm a big, I've mentioned the 10 to 15 stolen base chunk guys. There's a lot of those guys in this group. There are probably half the hitters in the 150 to 200 tier here are projected to steal over 10, but less than 20 or even less than 15 bags. You've got McCormick, Hayes, Morel. We haven't talked about Morel, but Jackson Holliday, Outman, Ian Happ, Byron Buxton, Ezekiel Tovar, and then your top stolen base guys are Trevor Story and Michael Garcia. So if you're low on speed, I think you prioritize Story or Garcia. Otherwise, it's kind of more just you're able to tread water here from a stolen base standpoint and keep going with those kind of 10, 15 stolen base guys.
Yep, we got a bunch of 25 plus home run guys. We got Soler here. Hoppy's even got 23 home runs, which is
yeah, there's some power. Yep.
Chris Morel, who we talked about, Buxton, Gorman, that's a health thing with both of them, but Hoskins, Adamas, Muncy. Muncy is going to crush you in average most likely, but there's a ton of power here if you need to, because we talked about the next range. It's pretty much all 20-ish guys. This is your last big push for 25 to 30 home run hitters, it seems like, outside of a fluky situation.
Agreed. Even though for, like you said, a lot of these guys, it might cost you in batting average. Yeah, this is kind of your last chance from a projection standpoint to get those 30 home run bats.
Yep. Another reason why Cabrian Hayes, Ohapi, like, they at least hit for a decent average compared to some of these other power bats, where it's like, I think Hayes is more than a 15 home run guy personally. So you kind of put your own biases in here as well and try to pinpoint things also. Any final thoughts on 150 to 200?
No, I think we covered that very well. Catcher and shortstop, or one of those other, like, third base guys that we talked about.
All right, Cubby Null just joined us, so he asks, speaking of stolen bases, how much would you bump up Fraley because Friedel's injury? Yeah, we talked about him in the earlier section, not to where we bump him up, but I'd have him more towards, like, the 220 range than 280 range, I would say, maybe even a little higher. If Fraley's an everyday guy, he is – heck, he's Chaz McCormick, honestly.
No, he's but, awesome, I think.
Yeah, he's Chaz McCormick, so maybe that's more like 150. I thought that'd be too big of a jump. It's over 100 picks, but he is Chaz McCormick. Like, that's the same player, and he leads off in Great American Small Park.
To say the playing, I mean, you alluded to this earlier, but the Reds seem to prefer Fraley over Will Benson anyway. Well, so
let's see what our good buddy Mr. Kerlin has to say on MLB playing time real quick. I'll click on this.
All roads lead back to Kerlin and playing time. I like it.
When you least expect it. Against right-handed hitters, he has Jake Fraley hitting third behind McClain and Ellie. That'd be fine with me. Against lefties, has him hitting seventh. So he has him still in the lineup, which he didn't play against lefties at all last year, pretty much. So, and then against righties, Will Benson bats ninth. He does not play versus lefties. So there's kind of what I was thinking. If Curlin's right, which is kind of where I was leaning anyways, like, Fraley should get a majority of the role, hitting third, top third of the lineup, let's say, and then bottom third potentially against lefties. It's still a ton of at bats.
Yep.
All right, picks 100 to 150. You hinted at this earlier. That's a whole lot of bats, boys. That's a whole lot of bats in this range. So what stands out to you when you kind of decipher through what, say, 30 something bats here?
Yeah, it's a massive pocket of bats. Let's there's so many different ways to take it, but let's go to middle infield, because we've kind of poo-pooed second base and shortstop this entire episode. It's like, at some point we need to take them. This does seem like your spot to maybe get both a second short or go into your middle, because you have Xander Bogaerts. And again, you may be higher or lower on these guys than us, but just from a kind of general trend, you've got Xander Bogaerts going at 105. You got Andrés Giménez, Bryson Stott, who we have both ended up with on our teams.
Yep. It's funny how the world changes throughout draft season.
Ketel Marte at 114. You've got Anthony Volpe, Dansby Swanson at 125, Zach Geloff, Bubba's boy there. There's
early,
just a lot
early
of
season these. Boy. It's kind of been dwindling of late.
Yeah, see?
I still like him, but yeah, there's other players.
Starting to come around. Starting to come around. But no, Geloff's here. That's a fine option at second base. And then the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes.
Thyro Estrada, who covers both second base and shortstop at 146. So given what we just talked about with basically no middle infield targets outside of like some shortstops in the 150 to 200 tier, this is where you need to get, I think, your second baseman for sure. Either in this tier or before this tier, this is kind of my point of no return for second base. And depending on how you like some of these shortstops, again, I'm fine wrapping up your middle infield. You know, it's kind of almost taboo to lock up a corner or middle infield spot like in your first 10 picks. But I think you're fine doing it this year at middle in the top 150.
Yeah, I haven't done it in all my drafts, but majority of my drafts, this is where I double dip. Kind of what you're saying. It's I get a Jimenez, a Stott now of recent drafts, a Geloff when I was heavy on Geloff, a Swanson, or a Thyro. Like that's kind of the world. I've taken a lot of those combos between seconds and shorts, however you have to make that work. That's been a popular situation. If I didn't get a Bobby Witt earlier, if I didn't get, say, I didn't go out Altuve or something along those lines, I would pound this area for middle infield because of everything we've talked about leading up this, again, beating the dead horse here, but this is why we've gone back to forward. It shows you what you need to do. And second base especially is not great. Shortstop, there's a couple guys in the next 50 picks. We said, okay, but now you're forced to take them and you can't even look at the other guys we talked about. We
already said you see that's yep.
We already said you need a catcher, but now you need a shortstop too. Like you're starting to pigeonhole yourself into, well, now you might be praying you get Zach Neto and pick 250 instead of 350. Like you're really starting to, it changes your whole draft setup when you start playing too much chicken out there. It's not fun. So, yeah, it's a good point you make. This is an area you might want to wrap it up by pick 150.
I'm kind of lukewarm on the outfielders. The outfielders in this 100 to 150 range are definitely like outfield in 150 to 200. I don't think at least I drove that point home enough. Like kind of sucks. And I have been, I think you can fall into the idea of, oh crap, I'm really falling behind on outfield. I know we've talked about outfield. You can get three of them later. I'm lukewarm on outfield here. You've got a Suzuki, of course, at 101. There's a few outfielders I don't like. Esteban Ruiz at the price, Jackson Chourio at the price, Jordan Walker. I don't like Riley Green. So there are outfielders here. It's just some of them I'm not as high on. So like, this has been shown in a lot of my drafts is I'm either start early at outfield or I end strong on outfield. It's for me, it's pretty hollow in these middle rounds. There's a few outfielders I like in 100 to 150, but not a ton and certainly not in 150 to 200. So it kind of goes with my general outlook on outfield is to maybe take two early or take two in your first 100 picks or something like that. And then, backfill those last three after 200.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. The way we've seen things kind of build out, I do like about five, four maybe outfielders here, maybe, but I'm not forcing it because again, like I like Teoscar.
Yeah, Teoscar, Seiya, we like
Seiya, Santander. I don't mind for power. Jared Duran's growing on people.
Yep,
but I'm not forcing most of the other ones. Let's put it that way. So again, that's why we're taking second base, shortstop. Get the middle infield figured out. There are a couple early catchers here. Only one that I really – or two, I guess, Yainer and Wilson. Contreras, don't really like the other catchers here. Again, why I'm focused on – and that's why when we did the OC stream, I all of a sudden took William Contreras when I took him because I didn't like this pocket as much as the next pocket. I didn't want to double dip. That was kind of the scenario of the way the draft played out. Again, to each their own. But looking at these pockets here, if we're focusing on second and shortstop, let's say we grab a pitcher or two, maybe a closer in this world, especially with the world of closers these days.
Yep.
It's getting tough to grab these other positions we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's kind of the, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit, it's tough on this exercise to kind of ignore pitching because this is obviously a place where you're gonna take them. So, but that's kind of why we're talking like in each 50 pick pocket, we're only picking two to three hitters because on average, that's what you're going to do. You can't take four because you obviously cannot neglect pitching. So, yes, you probably are budgeting one of these picks for a closer at this point, maybe an SP3. But, yeah, certainly don't think you need to go catcher here. Certainly do think you need to go middle infield, though. And I think outfield you can kind of ditch here. as well if you want. Category wise,
how many stolen bases Riley Green has?
Yeah, I screwed that up too. 9.07. Guessing that's nine with a zero batting average. So,
yeah, Riley Green sucks. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I
mean, we don't like
Derek Carty. Just hit Derek Carty and go, hey, why don't you like Riley Green? Just ask him.
Yeah,
because he's young.
He projects Riley Green to have zero hits all season. So,
but 17 home runs. Riddle me that, Batman.
Yeah, that's tough. There's some stolen base guys here for sure. And so given what we talked about, how you, I don't feel like you can make up ground in stolen bases after this, you do kind of want to look at, I mean, to me, the ones that stick out are Cedric Mullins and Thairo Estrada at 146, like at ADP 146 projected for 31 and 24 steals respectively. If you go up a little bit further, you've got Geloff at 20, Volpe at 23, going around pick 125.
Duran at 29. You skipped over him.
I skipped over Duran. Yeah, good call. At ADP 138, projected for 29 steals with a decent batting average and decent home run total.
And if he's leading off, could score a ton of runs in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I shafted outfield a little too much in my initial scan here. There are some goodies.
It's almost like to the point that you get two outfield early, maybe grab one in this next 100 picks. Maybe it's here or maybe it's a Morel or whatever, but maybe over on the 1 to 150 side, a little more five category juice still, and then backfill two later on. Might be the trick. I don't know.
Or even just one. I mean, I've done it. One early outfielder, maybe one from here, and then three.
Yeah, it's so, like your third base strategy.
Yeah, which was to not even pretend the position exists.
Yeah.
So wouldn't recommend that.
Wouldn't recommend it.
But no, there's definitely other steals like Andrés Giménez, Bryson Stott at second base. Esteri Ruiz is here. I would not recommend drafting him. But there is that. So plenty of stolen base targets, and that kind of aligns with the plethora of middle infield options in the 100 to 150.
Yep, 100%. And to one of your other points, you like there's a lot of decent pop guys, 15 to 25 home run guys, that also get you maybe the 10 plus stolen bases in this range. So a lot of your balancing act is in this area. Like, not a ton. There's some dead spots in one or the other, but there are a lot of that. Even Bogart's projected 18 and 9. We saw him go at 18 and 18 last year. Teoscar 29 and 10, stuff like that. There's a lot of that throughout this section as well.
And that's why these guys, so like if you look at power in a vacuum, power is very similar, I think, from the 100, 150 to the 150, 200 tiers.
Yep.
It's just in that latter tier, it's gonna hurt your batting average because, again, you've got like a Buxton, Nolan Gorman, Rhys Hoskins, Willy Adames, all projected like 230-ish, some upwards of 240. In this 100 to 150 tier, you've got Sal Perez at 250. You've got Christian Walker, 262 batting average to go with the plus power. Nick Castellanos, Teoscar. You just get that power with some other stuff, which is always good.
And it goes back again. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but from 150 to 200, like if you take these guys in the 1 to 150 range, now in 150 to 200, you can take the catcher. So if it's less batting average, less catcher's position. That's what happens. You can take your middle infielder, not your starting second baseman or shortstop. That's a different story. It kind of cleared my mind a lot. I'll plug the RotoWire show with James Anderson. They had Mark Winokur on there talking auction strategies, like a really, really good auction player in the NFBC for years. And he broke down his auction strategy in a roundabout way of that he wants to like spend at first, second, short, and third, get like two to three good outfielders, one good catcher, and then he takes like cheaper plays everywhere else because those are replaceable spots on your roster. That opened my eyes up to so much, and that's just an auction strategy that you can take to the snake draft. Though, like, so when I say elsewhere, your second catcher, if you have to, your middle infield, your corner infield, those can be guys you can replace on the bench. But your starting shortstop, second base, first base, third base, in a perfect world, those guys should be starting all season for you. So, like in an auction, you pay a little more for them. In a draft, maybe you pay a little more for them. That's kind of the philosophy. Again, perfect world. That's how it works. But just that strategy goes into place here, even when looking from 1 to 150 to 150 to 200, at least in my mind when I'm looking at it.
So. Cubby Knoll in the chat says to bring this back to outfield with you guys on outfield in current draft and hold league, took Kyle Tucker and Brian Reynolds early, then waited post 200 and took O'Neill and Fraley to fill it out. So it's kind of going along with what we're saying. One last thing that I want to kind of bring up in this group from 100 to 150, not many first basemen I like.
Yep.
And like, so you've got Spencer Steer, you've got Torque, you've got Christian. I don't know which Christian. That's got to be Christian.
It's Christian Walker.
Walker, right?
100%. Yeah. Yes.
You got Josh Naylor. So I kind of like those guys. But it kind of goes with what I've been drafting this year is either an early first baseman or just, what I just said earlier, wait, because I think the first base group 50, 100 picks later is comparable to this. And you have to prioritize. You can't just have one of every position at this point. You have to prioritize and go other spots. I think first base you can hold off with this group, despite a couple guys I like in the 100 to 150.
Yep, I do like some of those guys, but I have like zero shares of them for all the reasons we've just discussed. So next year, maybe I had a lot of those guys at corner infield last year, and they've graduated to this point in the draft. That's kind of the conundrum. All right, let's do the last slide of the three. We got 50 to 100 and 1 to 50, our final two pockets of the studs. Six pockets.
The studs.
The studs. This should be quote-unquote simple, but we'll still navigate and try to tell you what you probably should focus on. A lot of green on the early one. We'll talk about that. From 50 to 100, though, again, this side, the 50 to 100 is compared to the 1 to 150. So in reality, very good players. It looks red because of who it's compared to. I'm going to clarify that right now for anybody visually watching this. But I almost want to start out statistically on this one just for fun because we're studs.
Go for it. Yep.
There's like next to no stolen bases compared to the front half of this round. And even there's a few guys, but there's a lot of just downers in stolen base this early in the draft.
From 50 to 100?
Yes.
Yeah, like that's
you wouldn't expect it that early. That's a lot of downers.
And to me, full agree. There are, it looks like more than half the hitters. That's a really good point. I didn't really realize that. Looks like more than half the hitters from ADP 50 to 100. So these are important picks are projected for single stolen base totals. The guys that are projected high are Jazz Chisholm at 36 bags. Let's make it through a full season. Yep. Cross our fingers. You got Nico Hoerner, who will absolutely cost you in two categories in home runs and RBI. Yep. You got Christian Yelich, who is a fine pick, 24 projected bags at an ADP of 69, but you've got like Matt McClain, who oblique and now a shoulder. I don't feel that great about Matt McClain. And then your really only stolen base guy from 75 to 100 is Ha-Seong Kim. And I just think like regression is going to hit him hard. So I'm really not a fan of like any of these high stolen base guys outside of maybe Yelich. Again, your mileage may vary, but like that's something absolutely to keep in mind is it's tough for me. So given that I know that, it's very tough for me to take a Pete Alonso, Matt Olson, and Austin Riley. Yordan Alvarez, Vlad Guerrero, those types of guys with my first couple hitter picks because I want to get the stolen base from the guys I like and not from this 50 to 100 group.
Yeah, that just stood out to me the second I flipped over my sheet here while you're loading it up. I'm like, oh, that was a big spot there. And you know, batting average isn't bad. Like a lot of 250 guys, though, where you'd expect maybe a little better. So this range as a whole is kind of a little on the rough side. Tons of power, like compared to the rest of the realms. But statistically, and Covey Null hits, maybe this is where you take a couple pitchers and a closer. Probably. This is why, again, I've said it with like OCs and 12s. I'm cool with going 3 to 4 hitters and then pounding pitching for a little bit. And part of it's looking at this bottom half of the 75 to 100 world. And thinking that there's either holes or nothing special that outdoes them from maybe some of the 1 to 150 guys. Now, on a perfect world, they're going higher probably because they technically should be better, so on and so forth. But if we're just going on projections, there's a lot of oof in that scenario.
And this is where we're seeing in drafts, if you look at like an NFBC draft board, you almost see that yellow brick road in the fourth round of SP2s and closers. I am walking that yellow brick road because, this group as a whole, of course, there are individual players that we like. There's Manny Machado. There are guys we like, Gleyber Torres, etc. I like the pitching so much more in this part of the draft.
And like, I'll shout out a name. We're not like that. Just someone's grown on me throughout the off season is Nolan Jones. Like, I didn't want to pay the price, but you look at these guys like pretty soon, like the projection 262 average. I think he's better than that in that ballpark. That's a BABIP heaven. Like, he should be at least a 280 guy in my mind. And then it's a 2020 bat, maybe better. You never know. So I think he helps you in close to five categories, which you see start to drop off here pretty quickly. And he's one of the last kind of hurrahs there. I could be totally wrong, but like, we all love Randy Arozarena and some of these other guys. Well, tell me what's wrong with Nolan Jones in that conversation. And he's going much, much later. So just wanted to point him out. He's at ADP 54. And it's like quickly after that, you have Bellinger. And then it slowly starts teetering away. So I'll throw that out.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of the middle infield in 50 to 100.
No.
So we've got Nico Hoerner, Matt McClain. I like Gleyber Torres.
Yes.
And then Ha-Seong Kim. And that's it.
Gleyber's the only one I have a share of an entire four pack. Yes. With you.
So that tells me maybe lean middle infield in the first round or in the first hitter or two that we'll get to. Or we just talked about that last pocket from 100 to 150. It definitely, as I'm talking through it, like that's where I want to focus middle infield. Cause I there's just not many here, man.
Yeah. It's rough. You know, the first baseman's here. Oh, Christian Walker's here. So who the heck was it in the other one?
Encarnacion Strand. That's who it is.
Oh, CES.
Because his name's so long, it got cut off. And, dude, my blue board game is off, man.
I'm kind of interested in CES, to be honest, but that's a whole other discussion. But like this range, even first base, Bellinger, I'm out. Doldy, I'm not really in love with. Casas, I like, but that helium's gotten nuts. Christian Walker, again, he's a top 100 pick. I just can't go there. It gets back to the first base argument. That doesn't change.
Yep.
Catchers, you got William Contreras. That's about it here. Like, it's rough. Hey, it's rough on the streets.
I will not accept this JTR slander.
Yeah, I guess if you want to, I'm not gonna downplay JTR, but I've spoke plenty on. I'm just worried slowly coming to an end there.
Gialdi in the chat. What do you think about the Langford helium? I can predict both of our guesses. Bubba's already shaking his head. Would you pay the price? I'm not.
Not a chance.
Wyatt Langford. So the helium, quote unquote, on Langford is absolutely helium. 81 ADP for Wyatt Langford. So
I would not be shocked if he's a top four round pick at the main event in Vegas this week, and that's inside 60. He's probably somebody will jump in there and take him in the main event.
And again, it's just not our style. We could have said this exact thing about Corbin Carroll last year.
Yep, I've been totally wrong.
So I'm not saying it's a bad pick. It's just not something we do.
Yep, that's like Jackson Holliday could prove us wrong easily. And I tip my cap.
So you're not – so like from how many hitters are you looking at here? Like one to two in 50 to 100?
I know I've – Nolan Jones, Machado, Yelich – Contreras, Torres,
Brian Reynolds,
maybe Bregman and Reynolds. So was that eight names?
Yeah. So you're going one to two.
If they don't get taken, if they get taken, I probably just go pitcher heavy. Yep. Or to our conversation before, start pushing guys up. Yep. Get your guys. Don't just fall into this is who's on the board. Screw it. Don't take them. Go farther down the board. Get your guys you think are better fits for your teams.
Yeah, like say a Suzuki was on the previous picture at a 101 ADP or whatever. Yeah,
I'm taking him over Brian Reynolds. So, like in my world, say as a top like 75 pick. Maybe I'm crazy, but that guarantees I get him is what that comes down to.
Yep. Anything else category wise here? Like I don't know.
It's a rough hitting range. Like out of it's our fifth range we're discussing, and this one literally, and it's nuts. It's 50 to 100 is not good. It's good, but for the concept, it's not good.
Yep.
All right, let's swing over 1 through 50. This shouldn't be complicated. These guys are just monsters, but there's a few little things here. So what do you got, Bloom? I know you're shaking your head there. You mentioned the Olsons, the Alvarezes, Rileys, those guys that don't steal. Outside of that, it's a lot of – you got a ton of 2020 guys. You got good batting average guys. Given the good batting average kind of starts wrapping up by pick 24, because there's a gap from 24 to 54 that I don't see a hitter here.
Yeah. That can't be right.
I know. I just, just noticed that right now. I go, well, what just happened right there?
Let's see.
Yeah, I know. I'm pulling up the old.
Did I get ADP cut off?
Oh, it cut off. Yeah, because there's Gunnar Henderson, Vladito, Simeon, Seager, Lubob, Abrams, Altuve, Bichette, Garcia. There's a Rosarena. Royce, O'Neill, Cruz.
Okay. So, and that's – thanks for catching that. So you just listed, what, 8 more names?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
That further reinforces – so there are roughly 10 more bats going in ADP. And again, this is very fresh ADP data from the last couple of days in online championships. There are about 10 more hitters going in the first 50.
Well, than I can give you an exact answer. So there's 35 hitters in the top 48 picks.
Okay. It's a lot. It's a lot. And if I were to cut off one portion of our hitter column for this episode, I'm fine with it being 1 to 50, because again, it's not the players here that we're going to like dissect. That most of them are fine players. It's more, what did we just talk about on the previous pockets that we now want to incorporate into our first 3 rounds of hitters? For me, I have to get speed here, given the lack of speed that is available in 50 to 100 and the speedsters that are available in 50 to 100, I don't really like. So for me, that kind of crosses off Olson, Judge, Yordan, Riley, Devers, Alonso, and whoever the hell else got cut off on my thing here. But speed is it takes Soto off the list. Hell, it might even take Mookie Betts off the list for me. Like, what if I probably lean Tucker or Carroll, you know? It's more just like category. I mean, again, you can nitpick the names, whatever. I'm thinking more just like from a position or from a category standpoint, drafting what you need here based on what's weaker or stronger later in the draft.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. That's why I don't have any bets, even though I know I could regret it. We saw what you did last year. That's great. It's going to get shortstop eligibility, which is going to be cool as well. But still, I haven't had much there. Soto as well, similar reasons. I've been out on Judge for obvious reasons and so on and so forth. You can just go down the list. But it's why I've been extra heavy on like Michael Harris later on. I've been hoping for the third or fourth round. A lot of Ozzie Albies to go with one of those first round picks, so I can still get pretty close to 5 categories and 3 really good batting average guys. Because as we've talked about on this show, and just common sense, that batting average continues to just drop down in this situation.
And it is nice that the outfielders here and the middle infielders here are positions that I don't like a little bit later and categories I don't like a little bit later. So it just reinforces getting an outfielder 1 or 2, prioritizing that early with steals. And then, again, pretty much all of your middle infielders are stolen base guys here as well, the non-Corey Seager department. But you could go a Trey Turner, you could go an Ozzie Albies, you could go a CJ Abrams, Lindor. Those are guys that, like, again, from a pure projection standpoint, like Lindor and Devers are right next to each other in ADP, but they're completely different players in terms of category and position. Given what we had just talked about, I'm going Lindor, because I think middle infield and stolen bases is something I want to prioritize over what Devers has to offer.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree on that. And again, this is probably more of a preferential first 50 picks. Do what you wish, like you were saying. But just know that whatever you decide here, what we talked about in the next 5 pockets, that's a big emphasis on the way you draft the rest of the way.
Yep.
So we go backwards to forwards, but just remember that the top 50 picks is where you kind of you basically start your roadmap. Is what I'm going to say there. I'll bring it full circle there. This is where you start your roadmap before you go down the windy road that is a snake draft.
And I'm taking 3 or 4 hitters.
Yep. I love it. That's why I told you on the live stream of the OC, I felt so weird taking a Wheeler in like round 3. I hadn't done it all year because it just didn't make sense. And it was the weirdest draft for me. I didn't mind the team in the end, but I don't think I'm going to do that the next two drafts I have. I'll tell you that much. I just don't see a need to do it.
Agreed.
Any final thoughts on the hitters before we take some listener questions? Because I think we might have like rambled and went around in a bunch of areas, but people paid attention. I think they got the gist of what we were trying to get across there. So I know it helped me kind of refocus on things. And it also helps, I think, that we've drafted enough where it kind of almost feels like second nature on how we're doing these things. So anything else on these? Yep.
No, I think hopefully a big takeaway for everyone listening is to maybe jot down five or six goals you want to accomplish on the hitters that we've talked about tonight. And try and knock that out in your last drafts. Just a super quick recap. I feel like we're both going in the first 50. We're both leaning heavy hitter, probably three hitters in those first four picks, focusing on speed and outfield and middle. If you disagree or if I'm speaking out of turn, let me know. Part of that emphasis is because the next 50 hitters we don't really like, and there's not much speed. So we're probably pivoting over to pitcher in general from 50 to 100. 100 to 150 is where we both like a lot of middle infielders. So this is, again, where you probably want to round out second, short, and even middle. 150 to 200, I took notes on this as we were going, is your last chance. 150 to 200 is your last chance for shortstop and catcher. And then 200 to 300, we'll kind of loop that in, is where we both think you can round out and probably grab your last three outfielders and take a first baseman, because we love a lot of those late first basemen in a corner. So that feels like the general plan of attack. And I feel like it's not too, like, I feel like we haven't said, oh, you need two catchers, you need outfield, you need middle, you need corner in your first three picks. I feel like we didn't, you know, we were realistic with what we're trying to do here.
And you see how easy that was? We don't even need to share draft boards to figure that out.
That's right.
Pretty simple stuff there. All right. I'll start with a couple questions here in the chat, and then I'll get to the ones that were posted on Twitter earlier, including the one that commented on Ryan's. Real sneaky one you got there. Michael Cicchini says, hey guys, I like Glaber too, but just wait for Cattell 40 plus picks later. Same guy, maybe five fewer steals. Steals is the big question, plus health with Cattell for me. Cicchini has another one here for us. I looked at 2023 rookies today. The good ones mostly hit Carroll, Gunner, Steer, Young, Jones, the Millers, Casas, Geloff. Yes, Ellie, Outman, second half, Grayson. Yeah, it's a good point. A lot of rookies hit very well there.
Absolutely.
So, could be a problem of mine. We'll see. Still did okay last season, so I'll take my chances on that. Let's take those listener questions here while Ryan tries to figure out what I was talking about.
Yeah, man, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You're going to find it.
Dude, first, no, I didn't see it, but first underdog lineup tweet of the year just dropped. Padres, March 20th. Baseball's back.
Beautiful. Our buddy Ben Tidd says, if you were to do this exact same show before you did your ADP previews, how would your strategy be different? I don't think it would be that different, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we've been pretty consistent, and there's a maybe
outfield would be my only thing, I guess.
I think I'd probably, yeah, that's probably, I think I fell into that trap of, oh, and there's five outfielders, and I feel like I heard that outfield is not that deep and you need to get them. Could just be whatever I was listening to or reading or whatever. That's probably the biggest one that I've changed on or pivoted on is outfield. For me personally, like I try to be, I've been consistent, but also not stubborn. So like I go into each of these episodes even tonight, but then also like our individual 50 pick pockets, try to go into it with an open mind, but it seems like for the most part, my mindset going in, and then we talk about it, and then mindset going out has been pretty similar. So,
yep, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Again, when you've been drafting since November, or sometimes technically September, you kind of get a feel for things as you've been going through these. Taylor Johnson says, what do people mean when they say we get a free look at the Korea games? When do we have to set lineups for week one in OCs and DCs? Ryan, you have the best answer for this as we looked it up before the show.
So a free look, the definition of free look is you can make lineup changes knowing the result of the game already. And so at least in the NFBC format, your lineup is not due until March 28th. And so if, God forbid, Tyler Glasnow gets blown up and you have Tyler Glasnow on your team, you can bench him on March 28th when your lineups are due on opening day, and Tyler Glasnow's stats will not count. So that's what the free look is. And again, I'm just speaking for the NFBC here. I don't think that is quote unquote normal in the other formats. I don't know, but I know like in Tout Wars, it's not like that. In daily leagues, obviously it's not like that, but yeah, definitely double check your service provider and figure out what to do as this podcast drops after the game starts. So.
And the other thing, which I will mention, because I don't know if Arico's still in here, but I mean, sorry if I'm throwing you under the bus here, but I thought it too, and then it dawned on me quickly. If you are in an IL league, you have to wait till those people are officially placed on the IL before you can put them on the IL. So, like, you know, I was trying to do Tout, and Joe was trying to do it earlier, and we wanted to put our IL guys on there because we drafted them knowing we could, you know, put them there and get free spots. You technically can't do that until the team actively puts the player on the IL. Even though they've announced they're going to start the year on the IL, you got to wait till they do it, unfortunately.
That's always frustrating. Shout out to Steve Gardner of Labor. And again, this may be in your home leagues as well. Steve has a rule where if it's a kind of a common sense rule as the commissioner, if they're hurt, just not like, and it's very obvious they're hurt, they're just not officially on the IL, he will move them out for you. But chances are you don't have a commissioner as good as Steve Gardner in Labor.
You need to get a good sergeant of arms or something like that.
Yeah, you do. See where it goes. You do need a good sarge.
Yeah. But all right, we're going to wrap it up there. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
What was the secret question that I was missing?
Oh, look underneath the you quote tweeted my – I'll let you read it out loud because I want to see your face on the screen. I'm going to blow this up real quick. You had to click a button to see further answers.
Dude, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I'll find it for you because I saw it earlier. Bloomfield got the first nudes in bios response.
Oh, I do see that.
To a tweet. Yeah. So, yeah, that made me laugh.
Very attractive looking Linda Jones, who's probably not a podcast listener.
And she's probably not named Linda Jones, or Linda Jones isn't a she. You decide. And you go from there. So fun stuff, X, Twitter, whatever you want it to be. But we'll wrap it up there, folks. We'll be back with you guys on Thursday to do pitching and maybe some other things we'll see. This one took the full episode. Pitching might not. So we might throw in a couple other wrinkles that we're discussing. So we'll have some fun with that. Big draft weekend ahead. If you guys got any questions or anything, hit us up. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 118. Catch you all next time.